I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get it on, baby.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ah, welcome back. It is 3 o'clock, Tyler, and we are here live on a Football Friday here at East River 9. Our guy Reggie is out here from In the Loop. If you want to come meet Reggie, say hello to Reggie. Reggie done bought his clubs. Tyler, he said he's about to go out and hit some balls out here. So
nice, Reg. We got a golf, bro.
Nice. He said it. He said he's not a golfer. He said he needs to get out here and hit the. He said he's going to the driving range, not to the course.
I mean, he owns clubs, though. That's anyone that owns clubs. You know something.
That's not 100% true, Tyler. I own clubs. They're in my garage. My father-in-law, in the last 4.5 years, has used them 5 more times than I have, which is 5-0, to play when he has come to visit.
Long swinging Hughley.
So, hey, Tyler. Nobody wants to play with an arrogant scratch golfer.
Wow.
Man.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm good.
Jeez. Man. Nobody enjoys us hacks. Wow. Don't enjoy that, man. Unless there's something online, man, we don't enjoy that, man. Go play with your brother or something.
I am actually. I'm playing with Sterling on Sunday at the Golf Club of Houston. Gonna be out there playing the same course the Live fellas were playing earlier this year.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's gonna be beautiful.
Go play with your brothers. That's what I'm saying.
Long swinging Milner.
Yeah. So no. Yeah. Come on out. The 610 crew is out. Patrick Creighton is somewhere around here doing his thing, so come on and hang out as we'll have a good time here. All right, I said this on the other side. I want you guys to be thinking about this. I saw some people here on the text line, some on YouTube and Twitch have responded, and it was to this: if the Texans win this game, and to me, it's becoming more of a taller task.
The game is over.
As we get closer to it, it's on the road at Lambeau, one of the toughest places to play in all of the NFL, and they're going to have to do so without several starters, right? We know Nico Collins is going to be out because he is on IR. We know Christian Harris is out because he is on IR. But it also looks like Kamari Lassiter is going to be out at this game and a couple more after. Looks like Jimmy Ward is going to be out at this game. Reports already this morning from Aaron Wilson that Azeez Alshire will be out of this game. Henry Toa will be out of this game. Jimmy Ward, if I didn't say that, will be out of this game. So they've got some guys that are going to be out of this game, Clint. And that's why I pose this question to you and the people. If the Texans find a way to win this game in Lambeau, you'll walk away thinking what about the Houston Texans?
Well, for me, I think it'll take them to another level, and I think where I would go with it is I would say they're nipping at the heels of the Ravens and the Chiefs. Right now, I think those are the two best teams in the AFC, and to be completely honest with you, I don't think it's close. I think those two teams right now, and look, I understand what's going on in Kansas City with the injuries, and I understand that it may not be ideal, but let's all understand who they are and that they typically figure this kind of stuff out. And then if you look at Baltimore, they are
they seem to be figuring out this.
They are rolling, son, and it's awfully convincing. And I think both of those teams, it's both sides of the football, and I don't think anybody – I don't think Buffalo. I don't think Cincinnati. I don't think – obviously Cincinnati now. I don't think the Texans. Who else in the AFC is up there?
Buffalo, if they lead their division.
I mentioned Buffalo and Houston.
Houston lead their division.
But you get the overall point. The overall point is I just don't think that – though I'm not comfortable putting any of the other teams in the same category, same conversation with those two as we talk top AFC teams. I think it's them two and then a bunch of others.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, what's the breaking news you got, Tyler?
Well, boys, the Friday injury report for the Houston Texans, it just dropped. So we have some information to give to the people. Texans that are going to be out officially for Week 7 at Lambeau Field. You just mentioned this guy, amongst many others, Azeez Al-Shaair. He is going to be out versus the Packers. Kamari Lassiter officially out for Week 7. Henry Toa-Toa, with that concussion, he is going to be out. Jimmy Ward, out. And Robert Woods, the veteran receiver, he is going to be out. Two questionables. That is going to be Fadakasi and Steven Sims.
Where the hell did Steven Sims slide into the... When did he get on the injury report?
Must have had a tough practice on Thursday.
It says he's got a back. He's got a back and didn't practice today. Wow, okay. Well, Delshon Phillips has no designation, so he was a full participant today. He'll go. Joe Mixon as well, he'll go. He was a full participant today. I forget about Robert Woods. That means that that John Metchie will be running cardio and wind sprints again this week on the field on Sunday against the Packers. So that's a lot, man. Al-Shaair, Lassiter, and Henry Toa-Toa, Jimmy Ward. Those are four starters on your defense that's going to be out. And then Robert Woods, who had taken over the punt return duties and was that other receiver when you have Nico out. So now you got Nico Collins and Robert Woods out of this game. So so that goes along the lines of what we were talking about, Clint. If they're able to pull this off now, this is a little bit more definitive. They're able to pull this off with those guys out.
Yeah.
You got to look at them differently because we know that they're like – this isn't the best version of the Texans,
right?
We know going into Sunday, it's not. And the Packers don't seem to have any real major injuries right now that we know of that'll have them out, especially not to the tune of like a Nico Collins or their linebacking core completely out. And so even more with that news, Clint, I'm with you. Right now, the Texans feel like to me that they are a year away. That's what it feels like to me, right? Like you could see them getting there, maybe getting to an AFC Championship game, and if things fell the right way. But right now, they feel like they are a year away from really being right there with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, and the Niners, right? That's the feel to me. If they walk in without not being at their best, with you know, we're looking at 6-7 starters missing.
Yeah.
Not at their best. And they walk into Lambeau and beat Green Bay. To me, I have to put them in the Ravens, in the Lions. I would have to put them in that category. I would have to put them right there. And it would be hard to see anything that would sway them coming off of that unless they just went on some sort of a losing streak.
Yeah.
And they just look completely differently or an injury. This, to me, would change a lot. I think it would put C.J. Stroud at the top of the MVP race if they go in there and he beats Jordan Love and beats that Green Bay Packers team with the short hand group that he'd be going out there with.
This,
to me, would completely change the conversation for me around the Houston Texans if they walked into Lambeau to win this game.
Yeah, look, I think all things considered, it definitely changes the perception, if you will, the expectations for the Texans. I still would not put them – I mean, unless they just go out there and dominate, I still would not put them in the Baltimore Ravens and Kansas City Chiefs. But they would definitely be nipping at their heels, man. They would be a solid third best team in the AFC right now for me.
From the text line here, if I walk away thinking on to Indy, if they lose, still thinking the same. They just need to put their heads down and keep working. If the Texans beat the Packers, I'll walk away thinking that Nick Caserio has built a great squad with starters and, of course, backups to be able to overcome having four starters out. Hell, it's more than four starters. But, no, yeah, that's another thing with the depth that they would have and the depth they would have shown that they can go to missing. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Well, this is, again, we've talked about this. I think this is going to be the case anyway, but it's magnified times 10, given how many guys on the defense side of the football are out. This is likely to turn into a shootout. And yeah. In any shootout, I really like the Texans, even with Nico. I really like them with Nico, but without Nico, you still got plenty of firepower. I think you're playing to the strengths of your team, ultimately, in a shootout situation. I trust C.J. Stroud to make fewer mistakes. I trust the explosive weapons that we have to go out and make plays in crunch time. I trust our kicker. I know they're going to be outdoors, a little different elements, but I trust our kicker. And so in a shootout situation, it's hard for me to not feel really comfortable with C.J. Stroud, bro. So, it definitely is a narrative changer for the Texans, for sure.
Yeah, it's a deal of, yo, man, like, they're not phased. They're not phased by anything if they can pull this thing.
Ron, it just goes back to, you know, the championship-caliber teams, right? I mean, like, there's several things, obviously, that indicate, that a team is there. But I don't think anything's more powerful than being able to overcome injuries. I mean, obviously, you know, we talk about a lot of times, you got to have the quarterback. Your polos on the sideline have to be weapons, both of them. You have to have explosive weapons. You have to have an identity that you believe in. It doesn't change every week. It's some level of an identity that you believe in. And those things are all true, and those are things that we find ourselves talking about because they're sexier. But in reality, if you're a football team that's established yourself as, let's say, a top 10 NFL team, and then all of a sudden you show that you have the ability to overcome, like, ridiculous injuries, 6-7 starters, key starters, leaders, impact players, most productive guys in the NFL, not just on your team, in Nico Collins, if you can overcome that, I just don't know how much more convincing of a week you could have as a team to be these dudes have arrived.
Yeah, yeah. If the Texans win Sunday against Green Bay, they will officially be the most resilient bunch of mofos in the league, and will have us wondering how good they can and will be once they get everyone back. Yeah, that to the point you made there, like, when you say contender championship mindset, like, this, they potentially won't face adversity like this again, and they'll believe in what they have. Because you've got all pro, like Nico Collins is playing at an all pro level, right?
Yeah.
Azeez is playing at a Pro Bowl type level, right? Like those are big time guys that you're missing, and they won't be phased with that if they're able to pull that off. So interesting there. Thanks for the breaking news there, Tyler. As he lets us know.
You're very welcome.
That are going to be out. All right, Clint, when it comes to this, I know you've watched Green Bay and seen them a little bit, and obviously you know the Texans have seen all those games. What for you do you think, if you're sitting there at the game and you're just looking at the statistic and you're thinking to yourself, all right, it will be better for the Texans if Jordan Love throws the ball 30-plus times, or if Josh Jacobs has 20-plus carries? For you and your thought of this team and their defense to have their best chance against this team, if you had to pick which if you looked at the game and said, all right, this was good for the Texans because Jordan Love threw it 30-plus times or Josh Jacobs carried it 20-plus times.
Well, both of those things might happen, but either way the game goes. But I think it's – I would prefer – to how you asked the question, it would be – I think it would go better for the Texans if Jordan Love has to throw the football.
Yep.
I think you're playing into the hands of the pressure defense that the Texans have. I think you're playing into the hands of the personnel when it comes to Danico Autry, when it comes to, obviously, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Obviously the more the quarterback ends up throwing it, especially when you're talking about a team that runs it as well as Green Bay, if they're throwing it, they're throwing it for a reason, and that's because it's some level of a shootout or because they can't run the football. And so I would lean to Jordan Love. And Jordan's a good player. I really like their receivers, and they got a great play caller as well.
They can hurt you, big play, yeah.
So, yeah, they can hurt you. But I think if I had to pick one or the other, I would rather have that quarterback dropping back and trying to dissect my defense versus just get hit in the mouth over and over again by Josh Jacobs.
There are two losses. The first one of the year against the Eagles, Jordan Love was 17 for 34.
Yep.
260, two touchdowns, and a pick.
Any way you slice it.
Yeah, and a pick. And then their other loss was to the Vikings. And Clint, Jordan Love was 32 for 54. In that game, with three interceptions in that game, four touchdowns to me. Yeah, and Jacobs only carried it nine times in that game against the Vikings. To me, as I said earlier, that it's about the attempts to them.
Yeah.
And that play that play action is such a big part of what they do.
Well,
and that to me, when it's working like that, that's a big deal for them.
Look, any way you slice it, I mean, it's like I feel like the way the Texans played early on against the Colts, I've said it a million times, I think if Shane Steichen had it to do over again, he would have continued to drive Jonathan Taylor downhill against that defense. He got away from it a little bit early. The more, and not that Jordan Love is Anthony Richardson by any means, he's obviously more polished than that and has more experience than that, but to me, the more you can drive it into his hands, I don't think the coach, I don't think Matt LaFleur is going to put it in his hands unless he feels like he has to, which means they're not running the football well, so you're stopping the run.
Or the game has gotten away. Like
they were
down, I think, 28-7 or something to the Vikings.
The score can get lopsided, and that'll always make it happen. But I just think as a defense, if you can say, we are going to stop the run, you are not going to continue to move the chains and stay ahead of the chains with Josh Jacobs, then I think that's best-case scenario for this defense.
Because to me, Clint, if we see 25 carries for Josh Jacobs, to me that means their big play element may be there, because they have felt like, all right, we're doing it well enough that we can keep hand the ball off. And that their play action game, you just like we said, they lead the league in big plays, explosive plays. A lot of them come off of, you know, play action and down the field.
Yep.
And to me, if you look up after the game and it says Josh Jacob had 22 carries, 24 carries, I'm not saying it's a guarantee that the Texans have lost. I just think for the Texans defense, if you look up there and it's like Josh Jacobs had 12 carries, you know, it's like, okay, well, they felt like they couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
And I think that plays into to what the Texans do well with Will and Danico Autry and Danielle Hunter coming off the edge and rushing the passer, which gives them a chance to make big plays. Also, the more he drops back. So, to me, that's one stat to look at, is how many carries that Josh Jacobs has and what happens in this game. All right, as we continue, we're going to hook somebody else up with a $25 Visa gift card coming up here in this hour. So stay tuned for that. If you haven't filled out your name in our raffle box, you might want to do so right now, because that's coming up in this hour. Last week you said it was tank time. It was tank time.
Yeah.
As Nico is out, maybe it should be somebody else's time this week. We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Second and goal from the 10. Offset eye formation. Digs to the right side. And the pistol as CJ is between the eye. Fakes the give. Throws to the end zone. Hits Stephon Diggs. Touchdown, Houston. A bullet to Stephon.
Yeah, that was a big kind of a, if you want to say, a big moment in that game. It happened coming off of the fumble, forced fumble from Danielle Hunter coming out of the half, and then immediately there, as we just heard that call from Mark Vandermeer, the touchdown catch from Stephon Diggs there. I just watched that route again. And I mean, he just absolutely destroyed, I believe, number zero. He didn't have a shot.
That was Gonzalez, too. That was young corner that they're real high on.
He just started grabbing and reaching and still couldn't do anything about it. Clint, you talked about last week that for you it needs to be tank time. Do you feel like in this game, because I've listened to you, you've said, and I agree, this feels like, as I will call, like a cat daddy game, your stars games, your big play games. Like, this isn't going to be one where I'd be surprised if this is a game where Xavier Hutchinson comes in and is a surprise difference in the game. This feels like the stars and the guys you paid big money to, the guys you drafted early, the guys you depend on are going to have to come through. You think it needs to be Steph Diggs time if it was supposed to be tank time last week? Do you think it needs to be Steph Diggs time this week in this big game against the Packers?
No different than it was last week. I think that's. I think Steph Diggs is more for me. He's more the steady Eddie in this offense.
So you don't need Steph. You don't feel like there's a need for Steph Diggs to go off,
I think you got to define. For me, you got to define go off. I mean, do I think there's a chance he's got 100 yards? Yeah, but I think it's gonna be dinking and dunking and get in the red zone and run some freaky routes kind of deal and put up some numbers. So it just depends on, to me, how you. I think he's got to be really good. He's got to impact the game in a huge way. What we've seen this year, the way he's been used, and a lot of what we saw in training camp, he is just more of the guy that is over the middle, underneath, old reliable. Don't be scared to take the profit kind of receiver. I think that's where he's landed right now in this offense, and so
they haven't really put him in positions to go make the big play, right? Because they just, as you said, he's the outlet, the steady guy.
This offense is just so much better when they're playing that mid-range game and they're spreading the ball around to several guys. I just think the big plays are going to come. We obviously have seen Nico do that. I'm talking about big plays by design, not big plays by run after catch.
Or tackles, yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about by design. You've got a guy over the top, and I just don't think Tank is that guy by design. I think Tank is the guy that in most progressions, he's one. We're looking to him right now. Unless you get a pre-snap look that tells you to go somewhere else, right now from a progression standpoint, we're going Diggs 1, Dalton Schultz 2, Tank 3 kind of deal. You're getting through, and a lot of it starts with Steph Diggs because he can win so quick, because he's so smart. He's one of the veteran guys that has seen it all, so he's reliable. And I just think that's where he best fits is being that reliable outlet, if you will, that reliable number one with certain route combinations. And so, yeah, I think he's got to be a big impact, and he's probably going to be, from a catch perspective, the lead receiver. But this is, as long as Nico's out, Tank's got to be the one to pick up the slack.
I thought
he sporadically picked it up well last week. But there's got to be a game where he picks it up and just lights it on fire.
Because, see, the best way that I can describe what Diggs has been is, like, he's been good, you know, but it's like, it's more or less like, yo, just look up at the end of the game. Oh, he's got 6 or 7 catches, 70, 80 yards, some of these, 90, whatever. But yep. It's not anything where you're like, damn, I remember he did this, I'm not saying ever, but it's not like when you think about Nico, you could just think about plays and like, damn, this ball and this play and this play. And it does seem like it's just, as you said, workmanlike and just solid that then builds up and you look up and you're like, damn, I just.
Yeah, it's a quiet 100 yards, 10 catches. Like he's, the thing is I do believe that he's just, the days of him being this quote unquote explosive receiver
going off, as I said,
that was it in the Buffalo system because of how they attacked defenses. I mean, they just were pressure, push the football, throw the verticals, and he was a guy that did well and was targeted more than anybody else in that system. That's not CJ Stroud, that's not Bobby Sloak, it's not the system, and I think he actually fits better in the role that he's in right now. So I think it'll be a quiet, again, 9-10 catch game, maybe for 90, 100 yards.
And you think it'll be more Tank of stuff that we, like, remember as big, the moments or big plays, potentially, if they happen?
Yeah. Well, I think when Nico was here, you had steady Eddie Diggs and you had big play Nico. Whether it was in the scramble stuff or the over-the-top stuff, or, you know, Nico was balling. And you had Diggs that was in and out, kind of quiet. And Tank was relegated to a gadget guy. So I think naturally for me, you keep Diggs rolling where he's at. And the guy that jumps off the screen of being the new guy, that offense looks a little different, is Tank Dell.
Yeah. Someone texted in, he's had some huge third down conversions.
Oh,
though.
A bunch of them.
I think those are his plays right now. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. He was more of an explosive down the field guy in Minnesota and Buffalo, but it does seem like, that's a good way to put it from the text here, it does seem like his big play elements, man, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, right away, they get him and he makes big, you know, big plays in that part of the game.
He is a guy that nine times out of ten, the balls that are going to him are high percentage throws. And it's because of the scheme, again, underneath. We're not throwing the whole shot versus cover two down the sideline or the go route versus man. You know, that's a low – he's really good, and Josh Allen and him are really good at it, no doubt about it, but it's a low percentage throw. He's the guy inside that you're just going to play catch with on third – well, now it's been third and ten sometimes, but you're on third downs. You trust in a small space. He can right now create separation right now for the quarterback. He works his ass off. So you want to talk about guys that have great chemistry with the quarterback in those kind of circumstances. Again, a guy that's seen every coverage and every pressure that you could throw at him. He's old reliable. He's that guy. Now, that's no disrespect. I mean, that's the guy that you have to have in order to win football games, convert third downs, keep drives alive. And I just think that's in this offense – with how Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud want to play football, I think in this offense it's best served with him in that role.
Yeah.
High percentage. I don't think it's a surprise now that we've seen it. I don't think it's a surprise that he is a third down monster. Yeah. Right? And you watching that route you're talking about where he turned Christian Gonzalez around, I mean, that's all route running. I mean, the field was shrunk. It was in the red zone. That was all route running. That was nasty. Him and Tank in those situations in the red zone, ooh, look out. Look out now. That's nasty.
All right. Coming up here, it is a football Friday, but there's more than football on Sunday. There's football on Saturday, too. And Clint, there's some big, 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 big games coming up this weekend, in particular in the SEC. We'll go over our college football, our Saturday slate, coming up next right here live.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother Drive.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from East River 9, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, congratulations to our first winner. We still have a couple of more things to hook you up with. Another $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors, as well as game tickets to the Houston Cougars as they will take on the Baylor Bears. Real quick, we've talked about the Texans injury report. The Packers, they've let theirs out now. They've got two questionables: Wicks, the wide receiver, and then Wooden, a defensive lineman. They're both questionable, and Devontae Wyatt, the defensive lineman, he is out for this game. But everybody else, Jaden Reed, who was and Christian Watson, two of their young wide receivers, there was a wonder if they would go. They've been limited in practice with ankle injuries this week. They are good to go for this game coming up for the Packers. So that's the injury report there coming out of Green Bay as the Texans will take on the Packers. And they're going to be shorthanded in this game, and it's going to look a little different for the Packers. I mean, for the Texans as they head to Lambeau to face the Packers. All right, Ty, let me hear it. Come on, give me that. Give me that CBS music, baby. I need that on a oh yeah, a good Saturday and Monday to get me, or Friday football Friday to get me going. And Clint, there are a lot of big games coming up this weekend. I'm gonna go to Tyler first, because the big one here we'll save for last, because there's a lot of playoff implications to this one and a lot going on here with Georgia and Texas. But Tyler, your game of the week, and I know who you're doing this for. Your game of the week, but I think this is a big game, Tyler. Which one are you watching for this weekend?
It is. It's a big-time SEC matchup this week, and it is Clint Sterner's Hogs, those Razorbacks, as the number 8 LSU Tigers go into Fayetteville. And I got to say, I'm going to be watching every second of this thing, or as much as I can anyway, because, man, Arkansas looked good last week against Tennessee, dude. What's that guy's name? Is Taylor Green?
Taylen Green.
Taylen. Okay, he balled out against Tennessee, and I very much appreciate that, by the way, that your Hogs went ahead and disposed of Tennessee and handed them a loss. But this LSU-Arkansas game, man, I mean, this is going to be a big one down there in Fayetteville, Clint.
Yeah, it is, Tyler, to that point. LSU, they've been had some shaky performances. They just barely eked that one. They had to come back. Was that at home against Ole Miss? They had a comeback in this game Saturday where Ole Miss was controlling it most of the way. By the way, Ole Miss for you, Tyler, because I know where this goes. This is about your Aggies. Ole Miss, they got two losses now
in the
conference. And now Arkansas, who you beat, A&M, they could hand
11 out of the last 12.
They could hand LSU a loss. That would help your Aggies. So I know exactly where this is going.
Who they've got next week, by the way.
And Clint, listen. This is yes, it says 8 by LSU. I don't know if I believe LSU is the 8th best team in the country, but this is a very gettable game for Arkansas at home.
Yeah, no, look, LSU's a winnable game right now for Arkansas. It's a beatable football team for Arkansas. The one thing about LSU is they're one of a handful of teams in the SEC where typically, whether they're a good football team or not, they typically have dudes that are significantly better than Arkansas. Like they could roll, they run their special teams out, their second and third stringers out on special teams, and they are significantly better looking than our starters typically.
Some of them are going to be in the league.
That's the kind of horses that they've got, and not that that look may not still be there, but when you look at how it translates to the field, they are not dominant in the trenches the way that they've been. They have been also been known as DBU and wide receiver U. They have left a lot to be desired this year at both of those positions. I like Nussmeier, the quarterback. In fact, before we knew who Jaden Daniels was, back when people were still questioning him, I was questioning him. It's my biggest miss of my career at this point in time. I thought Nussmeier was the better quarterback in that competition that they were having in the offseason. Jaden Daniels wins the competition, goes on and wins the Heisman Trophy, and now MVP, he's tearing up the NFL. Not just Rookie of the Year, MVP, right? But I thought Nussmeier was really good then. I think Nussmeier's a really good quarterback. Now, he's reluctant to run. He left a lot of plays on the field against Ole Miss, man, and I think that game should have been lopsided. I think LSU could have beat Ole Miss worse than they did. It didn't have to be a last-second throw.
It's a struggle
now,
last second.
You fast forward to that throw Nussmeier made at the end of the game. It was absolutely tremendous. So he's capable of winning big games, but I don't know that that team as a whole has hit stride yet.
No.
I think you can say the same thing about Arkansas, though, right? Arkansas is a good football team, but has Taylen Green really, has he really sunk his teeth into Bob Petrino's offense? It's two very, very similar teams. Monster wins the last time we saw them play, trending up as quickly as anybody in the country, and they meet on Saturday. I think it's going to be a hell of a football game. They got to go to Mama Hogs up there. Granny's up there.
She's up there?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. All right, Linda, be safe.
Mm.
Get out here and don't have too many Coors Lights. I hell with it. Have as many as you want, Linda. Why not? There you go. Listen, we'll get to the Georgia game here in just a bit as they take on Texas. But another game, my game here is at Neyland Stadium in Knoxville as Alabama, number 7 Alabama, who they just haven't looked right. They lost to Vanderbilt, and they had a fight with South Carolina at home, which I don't think they have any business having a fight. But Tennessee has been just as as up and down, to be honest with you, as they struggled. They struggled and they lost to Arkansas a couple of weeks back and have struggled a bit there. But they have them at home. And, Clint, this is important because the loser gets two losses. And that now you're in shaky ground when it comes to trying to make the top 12 in the playoff system. Like that's a battle. Now you put yourself in places with teams like A&M and teams, other teams that now are ahead of you when you have two losses coming up when it comes to the playoffs and in the SEC. So this is a huge game. Somebody is leaving this game with two losses, and I think have to run the table after that to get themselves
you
in.
You talk about Arkansas and LSU being two teams, especially in the SEC, that are trending upward as quickly as anybody. These are two teams that are trending downward as quickly as anybody. They've had rough 2 week stretches here of football for both of those teams. And you're right, the season will be on the ropes for either of these teams if you get two losses. And I like Alabama in this game, man. I like Alabama in this game. I just trust that Kalen DeBoer and company will Milroe. We'll figure things out. I think they're a better football team. My stock is way down. I'm sorry, Tennessee stock is way down. I had them as a college football playoff team. I had Nico, the quarterback, as an outsider in the Heisman Trophy. They're no longer there. I think it was just a good football team that hadn't played anybody yet. And since they met Arkansas, not tooting Arkansas's horn, but since they met Arkansas, it's been a things seem to be unraveling a bit.
Hogs are winners.
That's right, Mom. They are, Dan.
All right, the big game, Georgia, the number 5 team in the country, already with a loss at Alabama. They could walk out of here with two losses too. But they will travel to Austin to take on the number 1 team in the country, the Texas Longhorns, Clint. And this is a game that could be a game of the year, one that we looked at as soon as the schedule came out. I think this could be a real, real statement for Texas. If they go out and win this, to me, if they win this game, I already believe they are, they would be the unquestioned number 1 team in the country, Clint, if they pulled this game off to beat Georgia.
I think they're the unquestioned best team in the country as we sit right now. I think the resume, I think who they've played, where they've played them, how they've performed.
The hell out of people, Tyler.
I think it just makes. I mean, let's be.
They really, in all seriousness, to me, they haven't really played like. I'm not saying anybody, but their schedule has not been like some of these other teams to this point.
Well, I mean, you know, look, they go on the road
to number 12 Michigan.
And I understand Michigan's not who we thought they were, but they go on the road, and it wasn't even close.
It's not close. They beat Oklahoma in a neutral site.
Wasn't even close.
Close.
I mean, what's 2024 Oklahoma though?
Agreed. I'm not disagreeing with that. I think when you look at the resume, you look at the product that they put out there. They only play who's on their schedule, and they've absolutely dominated everybody that's been on.
Alabama lost to Vandy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's what we're talking about. And they're stomping these teams.
Yeah. I mean, and you look at Georgia. I mean, Georgia. You know,
13-12 to Kentucky in a game with Kentucky. Like.
It's not your typical Georgia football team, and I think I like Texas in this ball game at home. I believe other than the resume, I just believe that Texas is the best, most complete football team in the country.
And Clint Tyler, I want to say I like Texas comfortably, but my only concern is Georgia's program and Kirby. They are very accustomed. And it's a thing that's passed down. They're very accustomed to playing in these type games. And Texas got some experience last year playing in the college football playoff. But Georgia's been in games like this a lot the last several years. And I don't know how many times Texas has been in these games, maybe one or two times. That's the only thing, because I do think Texas, their experience, that offensive line has grown now. They were a couple of years ago. They were young. They're all growing. I just think they're a better team and more talent. Maybe not even more talented, but more mature with their talent.
Well, they're just deep, man. They lost several guys to the draft and to pro football and to graduation, and they're just deep.
Especially defensively, and they're better.
Yeah, and look, I mean, here's the deal. I think, Tyler, to your point, I think the only team right now that I would put and say, okay, I'll have a conversation about it is Oregon. They play tonight, by the way. I mean, Oregon, that was a huge win against Ohio State last week. I don't care how it happened. It was a huge win. They've got a quarterback you can believe in. They've got They got some dudes now. That could be a team that I think could be pushing Texas right now as the most complete football team. I could be wrong, but everybody else, we'll see. Georgia may be that team. Georgia's we'll good see. Now. I just believe in Texas if at this point in time.
We could literally walk away this weekend with Alabama and Georgia both having two losses. At this point, we haven't reached November, both having two losses. And as we've talked about it, you get a third, I don't think you make the college football playoff. If you get a third loss, and they could both have two losses coming out of this weekend, which would be wild in this college football season. What you got coming up?
Well, we heard from the offensive and defensive coordinator yesterday, I believe it was. The biggest challenge for this defense, and definitely this D-line, is coming up this weekend, Sunday afternoon with the Green Bay Packers going to Lambeau. But they've got one piece that was a win-now move in the offseason. They got him back. The defensive coordinator spoke about Denico Autry. And, damn it, we just got to keep it real. Denico Autry's got to be a game changer. We'll talk about him next right here on Sports Radio 610.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.